Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 74 of the Weekly Long Box. I'm Todd, joined as always with Leonard. How are you doing today, Leonard?
I'm doing all right. 74 episodes of this. Unbelievable.
I feel I got 74 more in me.
At least, well, you got no choice.
That is true. I've signed a contract that is, I believe, lifelong here with the Weekly Long Box. But, you know, hey, I'm having fun. You're having fun, right?
Right. That's what it's all about. So how was your weekend?
It was good. I had a slow, relaxing weekend. Just read some books and, you know, that was about it. Didn't do much.
As you saw, I put up a bunch of books on eBay. A friend of mine asked me to sell. It's about a 6 or 7 boxes worth of stuff. And, yeah, it was quite the arduous task.
I saw I have you on as my saved sellers, and every time I open up my eBay on my phone on the app, it goes, you know, new stuff from you, and I'm like, again? I'm like, more? And I kept going through. I'm like, it's a lot of stuff here.
I got so much more to put up to.
It seems like you're just into the Spider-Man stuff right now.
I just actually got into his little tiny bit of DC stuff, and probably by the time that this episode is listening to, they'll probably be like well over 300 items.
Ooh, that all goes in your pocket, right?
No. Outside of the seller fees and like what it costs for shipping, it's all for him.
Oh, that's nice. No percentage for yourself off the top?
I think that my percentage off the top is if stuff doesn't sell like after the second or third time, I get to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like some weird ancillary like 250s, 275s of Amazing Spider-Man. And that I'm keeping on to, and a couple issues of the Joe Kelly JLA run that I need to finish off my run there. But that's my payment.
And then anything else that's left over, it's Halloween in the kids' baskets, right?
Exactly.
I know you too well. Know you too well.
Yeah. Hopefully these kids like Voltron and He-Man.
Who doesn't?
I don't know what kids are into these days.
I think they're into the Ben 10. I'm not sure. I like the Ben 10 anyway. But we got lots to talk about this week. We got some news. The villains get in the spotlight. More on the saga. And some award nominations.
Yes, the Eisners came out. And I didn't mention that in our notes initially because I know Todd feels that they're a little bit too hoity-toity. He still sends his ballot into Wizard every year. And I don't think they've published Wizard in about 2 years.
Hey, a Wizard did it right. It was by who gave them the most one-half issues and covers. That's the way they decided who won their awards. But, yeah. And we have what we read last week. I think we cross over on just about everything. I have one little book that I know you didn't read.
Mm-hmm. Continuing the tradition of what we were looking forward to from last week that we're going to be talking about for this week's episode.
Yes, yes. And what we're looking forward to this week. Mm-hmm. I wonder if we'll be the same, but to keep start a new streak.
I don't think so.
What? You don't think so?
No, I do not.
I don't think so either. And we also have my sketch party. It's going crazy again.
Yeah, and I like the onset of more people submitting their own sketches that they do. While it's awesome to see stuff done by professionals, if you will, it's also nice to see stuff from our listeners to see how talented they are.
Maybe me and you should start doodling too.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great and amazing. And we also have our Twitter question. Well, what's your favorite rivalry in comics?
Right. I can't believe how many people got this wrong.
Really? You think there's a real big winner?
Well, no. Oh, there was a big winner amongst our listeners, but they're all wrong except for one listener.
Oh, okay. I bet you they're wrong and I'm right. But either way.
We'll see. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Can Dr. Doom feud with himself?
See, my one was actually going to be Dr. Doom with everybody. But I decided to poo-poo that and pick something else.
Yeah, you saw me tweet yesterday that the baby now recognizes and can name Dr. Doom.
Yes, I favorited that. I wasn't going to answer back because I still have to get my TARDIS plan into play, like you said.
Right.
But, soon. I'm doing the finger thing like Mr. Burns right now. You can't see it, but
the finger triangle that he does.
Yeah, the finger pyramid.
Excellent.
Excellent.
So where would you like to begin with the news, my good man?
Let's start with the villains.
Right. So September is right around the corner for solicitations. And by right around the corner, I mean 5 months away. So I guess it got spoiled a little bit through, I guess, like where the retailers can pre-order graphic novels and stuff.
Right.
That DC is going to be selling an entire, you know, giant, like, hardcover, like they did with all the new number ones when they relaunched everything 2 years ago, that all the books are getting new number ones, but they're also being retitled to correspond with whomever the villain is going to be for that month, whether it be a classic villain or a new villain that's going to be reassigned to that hero. I tell you this, this is going to wreak havoc with my pull list.
What? I don't know. I think it'll be perfect. Your pull list is like my pull list. Perfect.
It's going to be the biggest headache. I am so not looking forward to this. This is the one where I'm going to buy all the issues and I'm going to take them to Jimmy Pamiotti and have him write the correct names of the titles on them.
Now, are you saying it's more your pull list, getting your books pulled at the shop, or is it going to be your, because you have it in triplicates and in this tablet and on this computer, and then where are you going to store them? Are you going to do like, say, Batman's turns into Riddler? I don't know for a fact on that. Now, do you put the Riddlers with the R's, or, I mean, you're going to go crazy.
First of all, the answer is all of the above. Wow. Second of all, it's going to be difficult for me to keep track of, like, who is what. You know, like when the previews comes out in July for the September books, it's going to need to very clearly say that, like, Riddler number one takes the place of Batman whatever, or, you know, Killer Croc number one takes the place of so-and-so, mm-hmm. so that I know where to put everything. I should be able to figure it out by the creative teams,
mm-hmm.
unless they decide to screw with that as well.
Oh, I'll have to talk you down off the ledge.
September is not looking... I'm not looking forward to September. DC has ruined my September.
See, if you just stored your comics in a paper bag on a dresser, this
right,
wouldn't be a problem.
Right, willy-nilly, just haphazardly, it's going to be... that's what I think I need to go to.
You know how you say you have a pull... You know, you have a pull list service for people? I will come over and put your comics the way they should be. You know, I'll just bring a bunch of grocery bags and I'll go to town. You just name the time.
Anytime you want. Open invite.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what villains get reassessed. I think this is something that they've talked about for quite some time, I think, right after the Zero issues from last year. It's going to be a headache for me to keep track of, and I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah, doesn't bother me one way or the other. I can handle it. I got big shoulders. The way I look at it, and this is, like you said, one of those things that I think I heard about a while back. So, like, I don't know if they were talking about it before the Zeros or after the Zeros, but it's been in the rumor mill, and now it looks like we have a little more proof for it. I think it's kind of cool. People are going to say it's – I could see it coming a mile away. It's a bit gimmicky, but I'm a fan of villain books. So give me one issue. Don't drag it out, and I'll be good to go.
Remember when the villains used to get, like, the fill-in, like they would be the fifth-week event?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like, and then, like, because villains don't have too many books. Like, you had a couple villain team books, a little one called Secret Six, a little one called Dark Avengers, you know, but, like, an ongoing villain title, I could probably count on, you know, one hand over the years who got them.
When they did the little arc pre-52 with Lex Luthor being the lead character in Action Comics, that was really good.
Yeah, a Joker had one back in the 70s.
Right, and wasn't he like the... And then Deathstroke had an ongoing in like the 80s.
Yeah, but I don't remember if he was like they were turning him around. Do you remember if he might have been a good guy? I'll have to ask DJ, he'd know.
I think he was fake Punisher at the time.
Fake Punisher. Venom had his own book.
Right.
Still does, whether or not, like, you know, whether he's...
Well, he's
Rock or
he's
whoever.
Pretty much a full-fledged good guy at this point.
Right, but wasn't he a bad guy when he had all the minis and the ongoing? I don't know.
He was the Lethal Protector.
That's right. I forgot about that. Was that back before or after he wanted brains? I can't remember.
He had decided that brains, while delicious, being good was better.
You know what? I remember Tom did one of those issues. I think he was eating chocolate.
Oh, that's right. There was something in chocolate that was giving him the same effect as whatever was in brains.
Right. It had the same chemical that was in brains. So as long as he ate chocolate bars, he wouldn't murder. That's a great storyline. They should bring that back.
I was going to say,
Flash Thompson do that.
That legitimately is something they should bring back.
Flash Thompson has to eat chocolate bars or he goes after people's noggins.
Oh, man. Oh,
I would read that.
And I do read Venom. It's really good. But, yeah, if he was eating chocolate to prevent the killing.
Mm-hmm. I'll take some of that. But what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, so what else do we got? Well, actually, you know what? I want to talk about the Epic collections. We're talking about, how whatever that is that the retailers find out about these collection editions months and months in advance. We saw that Marvel is going to be rolling out a new format of graphic novels called the Epic Collection.
Mm-hmm.
And their big selling point to it is, one, obviously low-priced. Two, they're going to be nicely on your shelf, so they're going to all have the same trade dress.
Mm-hmm.
But they're selling it as uninterrupted story arcs. Like, some of them are very easy. Like, the Thor one that they have coming out, it's like, oh, Thor 383 to 400. The Iron Man one, it's like, Iron Man whatever, plus the one annual. Then when it gets into the Avengers and the Spider-Man ones, that's when it gets a little wonky, because there was three different Spider-Man titles going on at the time, plus they're all individual annuals. So I guess it's just like the entire runs are going to be collected in these super cheap, not black and white collections. So that'll be interesting. I might get those Spider-Man ones.
Yeah, I'd have to see all of them that they're doing, because I'm hearing different things about them that, like, you know, because they have the Marvel Masterworks, which are the hardcovers.
Right.
And I think those are, like, you know, more expensive for lesser amounts. Now, the rumor I heard is that these are going to take up where the Marvel Masterworks left off, because I do believe these are probably runs of, you know, the comics that people weren't clamoring for. Like, you know, people want the early FFs and this and that. And then, but they also want them not the way the essentials are, black and white and cheaper. So I'd have to see, like, what runs they are and what I have of it to make it worth my while. And it makes me worried because I'm buying some of those Omnibuy off of Dave right now. Like,
oh, that's right. He's having the sale. That's right.
Yep. And I got the John Byrne first half of his run of FF, and I'm picking up the Jason Aaron Wolverine. I put that one on the side. I don't know. You said it was pretty good, right?
Yes, it is.
So you think it's worth like $20-some to get all the like 30 issues of Jason Aaron's Wolverine?
I would certainly say so.
Okay, well, that I'm picking that up. But I'm worried now that I have these Omnibuy, and they'll change them to the Epic line.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, oh, well, you know, the Omnibuy didn't sell the way we were, so we're going to do the John Byrne in the Epic. It's just like you said, you kind of want some of these runs as the same trade dress and stuff. And if it mixes it up, it would make me sad.
Well, I know at least for these, you know, looking at the Spider-Man stuff, it's like during the Acts of Vengeance period, you know.
Right.
So I don't think any of that stuff is collected in any form, really.
Okay.
Unless you count like the giant Acts of Vengeance book, but not just all the Spider-Man stuff at that time. And the fact that they're advertising it is like, hey, we're going to keep the same trade dress on all these things. I think at least they're committing to it.
Oh, I think it's really cool. I just look at some of the way some of the stuff is reprinted. Like the John Byrne stuff, they had the Visionaries and then they took them out of print. Now they're doing the Omnibuy and I don't know when we're getting the second one. So if they did them in these and they were cheap enough, I could see me picking them up, or just certain other runs that I really, really like. But hopefully we'll see. Hopefully that'll do well too, because a good cheap, you know, trade is good for people.
So one of the other news stories, I guess, is a follow up from last week, is the whole Saga, Comixology, iTunes kerfluffle.
Mm-hmm.
And we will talk about Saga number 12, of course, in the books that we read from this past week. But Todd, I hope you're sitting down. Did you see that it was a bit of a miscommunication in regards to everything?
No, shocker.
Yes. So apparently what happened was initially it had come out that Apple had rejected it from being in the iTunes store, and it caused this huge uproar online, which very rarely happens in this day and age of people getting upset over nothing online. And then it came out that Comixology never even submitted it to Apple. Because the way that Comixology read the Apple Terms of Service was they made the decision that the book wouldn't meet Apple's Terms of Service.
Right. So I'm not even sure now how it got held back. And then it got put out, right, by Apple?
Right. It ended up getting the book delayed, because I know I had friends of mine that get it digitally, and they're like, where's this book? Where's this book? Where's this book? And I'm just like, I'm like, leave me alone. Hear these news stories. Read what's going on. Hear these news stories. Read what's going on. But it was just a lot of mistaken stuff, and I know a lot of people are trying to tie a lot more into it. And I'd like to give both of these companies, these major conglomerates, who we don't work for, I do want to say, you know, I'm not in Apple's pocket. I, you know, run them down on this show all the time, even though you should go to the iTunes and give us a nice review.
Yes.
And I do love Comixology, but they never got back in touch with me about being a partner with them. So I just think it was, you know, Comixology being afraid, misinterpreting the terms of service, and it ended up, like, because of this, a whole bunch of stuff that wasn't previously on the iTunes side of Comixology, like there was a Boys miniseries that never got put up due to similar reasons, keeping it as clean as possible here.
Right.
And because of this, you know, being worked out, that ended up getting put back on and a couple other things as well. But I'd like to give both these companies the benefit of the doubt, because I would like to think that both of these companies are looking to make money.
I would say so. I don't know why they would want to, you know, shoot themselves in the foot. And I look at it as, you know, like, I guess Brian K. Vaughan got a little upset, you know, early on, because it's his book, and he said, says something. I think in the end, as terrible as it was, and it wasn't out for a few days, this is publicity for Saga. People are going to probably want to pick it up even more now, because, you know, people are going to hear about it and they're like, what? You know, it's a book you can't have. I don't care what anybody says. That totally kicks people's minds into, I have to get that book. And, you know, whether or not they ever hear that it's, you know, the problem was solved and there was no big thing about it. But I think it's going to give Saga a bump. I really do.
Right. And this, you know, we'll kind of get into it a little bit more as the show goes on. But this issue is almost like a great jumping on point as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of almost like not so much as a jumping on point, but almost like a standalone issue. And I think it just worked out that way, you know?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. But.
So I know I'd mentioned it before, and there was, you know, Mark Waid. We'd mentioned it last week here as well. Mark Waid wrote a really good blog entry, which does have some salty language in it. So, you know, reader beware, of course, which I think kind of covers the whole thing and, you know, the internet community regarding things blowing up like this.
Mm. Which is usually very level-headed.
Right.
But everything seems to work out. The book's out. You can get it in stores and online, and hopefully, you know, you try the book and enjoy it.
Right. So one last bit of news before there's a few other things that I just want to dust over quickly, because we're the comic side of things, not the movie comic side of things here on the Grizz Network. But the Eisner nominations came out yesterday as well. Todd hates the Eisners because he feels it's so hoity-toity, on and so forth.
Snooty.
Yes. So just looking over the list, I did want to mention to you, Todd, at the very least, the who's nominated for the best continuing series, Mr. Snooty.
Mm-hmm.
It's Fatale,
mm-hmm.
Manhattan Projects by Jonathan Hickman, Prophet from Image, Saga, and Hawkeye.
Okay, you got three right.
So the big thing this year, I guess Fantagraphics was the one who, like, walked away with the most nominations. The ones that I'm most happiest about was that Hawkeye got 5 nominations, and out of Marvel's 7, 5 of them were for Hawkeye. And Bandette from Monkey Brain Comics. It's a digital book right now. I'm sure it'll get printed, of course, with all the Eisner nominations. It got 4 nominations, and that's from Paul Tobin and Colleen Coover. And it is such a good, fun book, and I love the way that it looks as well. It's in there for Best New Series, Best Digital Comic, Best Artist, and Best Colorer. So it's a really good book. I think the 4th issue of it comes out this week. If you did the Comixology survey all those months ago, they sent you the first issue for free. And hey, it's 4 issues for like 99 cents. I say go crazy, pick them up. It's a really good, fun book. And I think if you look up on Paul Tobin and Colleen Coover's website, they have like kind of a side ancillary little mini series of the same characters available for free there as well.
Hmm. Sounds interesting. It's up for an Eisner. It's going to get some notice, like you said. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, get some extra readers.
Yes, yes, indeed. The other things that I just want to mention, just to kind of dust over here as well, is movie stuff. The third and, I think, final trailer for Man of Steel came out this week. And one of our listeners mentioned that he was trying to channel his inner me and not read any of the Superman Man of Steel or Iron Man spoilers or watch anything. And it's very easy to do, like I told him. Just have a baby.
And
if you can somehow get a baby in your life, you won't have time to look this stuff up, even if you wanted to.
I can get you one discounted. I know a few sketchy guys.
Right, they just wander on the shop aimlessly. Todd lures them into a sack and sells them on the internet.
Yep, I have my own site, babiesfromtodd.com.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, so I am not going to be watching the any of this information that's come out about Man of Steel. I already know too much information, as I want to say. And Iron Man is, what, 2 weeks away? 2.5 weeks away, depending on where you are in the country?
We're closing in, yeah, because it's always there's always a Marvel movie for real Free Comic Book Day. So we're closing in on that.
And I'm out of town. It just dawned on me over this past weekend that I'm out of town for real Free Comic Book Day.
Oh.
I'm going to be in Atlanta, Georgia for Chikara. And me and a couple of the guys were already planning where the nearest comic book shop is to where our show is, and also how we're going to be able to leave the venue Friday early to have time to go see Iron Man before the show on Saturday.
Wow, you're actually going to see a movie the weekend it comes out?
Yes, and luckily my wife doesn't listen to this. I'm going to see it without her.
Hold on, I got to text somebody while we're doing the show. But, yeah, I'll probably see it that weekend. It'll be weird because most of the people that I go with, you know, Dave does Free Comic Book Day, so he doesn't really want to do it. But I could see me doing a Thursday night midnight show. This is the year where I could see me doing a ton of midnight showings.
Oh, yeah.
And it's weird because, like, Evil Dead a week ago or 2 weeks ago, whenever it came out, I don't follow those bloody movies like you do, that they had a 10 o'clock showing on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
Here at the theater by me. So I'm like, if they have an Iron Man 10 o'clock on Thursday, done and done. I'm like, do that with Superman, Star Trek, just go down the list. I'll do them all.
Superman I definitely would do with you if they did the 10 o'clock. You know, I'd bite the bullet and just say, hey, I'm sacrificing sleep for the next day. But Iron Man, I'm going to be en route to North Carolina at, you know, 10 o'clock on Friday. So there's no chance of that happening.
Right. So, but you know, on Thursday night, right?
I'm talking about the. Oh, okay, no, because we have a show in North Carolina on Friday.
Ah, I got you. I said you. Never mind. Not even going to get into it.
All right.
I got confused.
The other thing that I want to mention is more speculation, I guess, of casting for Guardians of the Galaxy is coming out. And it looks like Michael Rooker, who you, our listeners, may know as Merle from Walking Dead, I know him as being a crazy person and being awesome, is going to be Yondu, possibly, in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
God bless you.
Right.
Yondu, and I didn't even know who that was until, you know, somebody told me that that was one of the original Guardians of the Galaxy from the 70s, I guess, early 80s.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure, like, you know, because this is the next group of Guardians of the Galaxy in our time, because they were originally from the future, I'm gathering. Like I said, I didn't know a lot about the old one, but I thought that was interesting. Michael Rooker, you know, coming off the hot, you know, the hot Walking Dead, getting the parts.
Well, again, his buddy's the writer-director of the movie, James Gunn, so I knew it was just a matter of time before it got announced of who he was going to be in the movie. I'm just glad that he's in the movie, because I like me some Michael Rooker. He's crazy.
Yes, he is. They worked together on Slither, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
See? I'm getting these horror knowledges down.
Yeah.
So.
And just the one last thing is, I'm sure a lot of folks in the United States, you know, the bombing that happened, the incident with in Boston this past week, it came out that they are still going to have the Boston Comic Con, which I guess is nearby where those things happened. That is still going on as scheduled for Saturday and Sunday. And there is a really, really good talent list there. So be sure, if you are in that area, do not let you know, the unfortunate incidents of what happened deter you unless it affected you you know, directly, and for that, our condolences as the show go out to you. But definitely check it out. It's just Boston Comic Con on the internet there. A lot of really good people, as I mentioned. Mark Bagley, George Perez, Jim Calafiore, who was at the... was Calafiore at the Reading show when we were there a couple weeks ago?
Yes, he was.
He was like kind of in and out. I didn't see him at his table all that much.
I saw him there a couple of times. It was most of the day. But, yeah, Jim was definitely there at the Geek Speak show.
So I know Mike Mignola is going to be there, among others. Bill Willingham is going to be there. Ed McGuinness, whose art I love. So if you're in that area, definitely go check that con out.
I always wanted to go to Boston for a con and see the city. I've never been there.
I'm not a fan of driving in Boston, and everything closes at like 11:30.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm sad.
It's the city that does sleep.
I always wanted to go and do my terrible Boston accent, which I won't do here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So before we move on to the books that we've read from last week, I do want to mention the digital stuff that's going on. There's some free stuff available from Marvel. Uncanny X-Force number 8, which was the beginning of a new storyline there, and New Avengers Volume 2 number 1 are both available for free, at least for the next 7 days. And DC is also having a sale on some Justice League books up until the end of the day on Thursday of this week. Hopefully you're listening to this when this comes out. And it's a lot of the more recent eras of the Justice League, the Grant Morrison stuff, which was some of the best Justice League stuff. At least the first 5 issues is kind of where the Batman that everyone knows and loves today, of the Batman who could beat everyone, comes from. That's in those first 4 issues, actually. So you can scoop that up. They also have the Brad Meltzer run. They have the Identity Crisis available, which was the precursor to the Brad Meltzer run. And they also have the first 6 issues of the recent Geoff Johns, Jim Lee, New 52 stuff, which, you know, that's a retail price, $3.99 each. And you could pick those up at 99 cents a pop. So, you know, definitely check those out as well. And then the Injustice Gods Among Us book that ties into the video game that came out this week, that is available for free. So also check that out as well.
Yes. Tom's doing that now.
Oh, he's doing one of the upcoming issues?
I think he's in the rotation for the Injustice Gods Among Us now. So that's really
good
cool
for him.
And I think I'm going to be in an issue.
Oh, he always sneaks you in.
I heard I might be a truck driver.
Big rig. A surly truck driver.
Yes, big rig, going to the diners on the weekend.
Obviously, he's not the writer of this book, but if only he can get you to say truck stop, bro. That would be a joke just for like me.
Just for you?
Yep.
Oh, I want to be like Razorback. Remember Razorback?
Wasn't he the villain of US 1?
I don't think he was the villain, but he was the he drove the big pig.
Oh,
and later on, he was a mutant in She-Hulk, and his mutant ability was to be able to drive anything. Not a vague power at all. And then he ended up stealing a faster-than-light shuttlecraft that was he named the big pig too. So, just you know, that's good stuff right there. No, not Razorback fan? No. Okay.
No, that is good stuff.
All right.
I was looking for my books because we're going to get to talking about the books that we read from this past week.
Okay.
I'm going to leave it to you. Where are we starting?
Would you like to start, because we talked about Saga a little bit, let's get right into it with Saga.
Sure. This issue of Saga was more so about the those TV-faced robot people that you see so much in the book. A lot of the promotional imagery had them in it, as always done by Brian K. Vaughan and Fiona Staples. What did you think of this issue?
I loved it. I don't know if you're surprised or not. I love Saga, but it's one of those things that I love that the character, and they introduce the writer of the book that's been part of the plot in this, and him talking, I thought it was a really great conversation between the two of them. And I feel like maybe Brian K. Vaughan felt about a book once or twice, the way the writer talks about His, because it was so believable. And then in the end, what kind of happens, I don't want to say anything, it was like, you know, like, I'm going to tell you how it is. And then, you know what, you believe me, but it's not that way. The way the book ends, I'm like, I want it instantly now. I just love that I fell for something again. And it's a perfect book between Fiona Staples' art, just, you know, helps create the mood with Saga, and the author of the book, and the TV face guy. I just thought this was great. Just two people sitting around talking about books and people, and, you know, this should be, like I said, the most boring book in the world, but I had so much fun just, you know, reading it.
Right, and the other thing I was going to mention in that regard was the ending was, not to give too much away in regards to the ending, very Watchmen-esque.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, yeah, so the robot person in question, Prince of Robot the Fourth, he's fascinated with that book that Marco and Alana were reading, and that he feels that there's clues in there, and that's where he could find them, because obviously them having a kid is a big deal, and he needs to get them. But the thing that broke my heart the most about this issue, and this isn't a spoilery sort of thing, but if you read the letters pages...
Right. I did not.
They're taking a break for a couple months.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think it said something like 2 to 3 months they're taking a break.
You know what, though? I remember when they took a break the last time,
mm-hmm.
it didn't feel all that long.
No.
Like, they said they were going to go for, like, you know, a bigger break. So maybe they'll surprise us once again and come right back very quickly. But if not, you know what? Some people's earned, you know, me to wait 3 months. And if they tell me that's the way it's going to be, I'm more, you know, fine with it than them going, like, yeah, we'll be out next month. You know, a la Scarlet, what, 6 and 7? or whatever goodness. Issues it was. But yeah. So as long as they tell me and I can prepare myself, we're good. I'll find some stuff to read, and then when it comes back, I'll pick it up.
Right, because we had 8 issues of the book last year, running from March to December, and I think they have one more issue solicited for May, and then I don't remember. I'm almost 100% sure there was none solicited for June or July.
Didn't really notice, because in the solicits, if I'm getting the book monthly, I don't even look. You know what I mean? If I know it's something that I'm picking up, so it would have just slipped right by me.
Yeah, because I'm doing my list and somebody else's list, so I gotta, and you know, and then my list in triplicate, so it's busy.
Watch out for those villain issues. But yeah, I love the book. Can't say enough good about it.
So, I want to talk to you about your pick from last week, which was Batman and Robin number 19.
Okay.
I was indifferent about this issue.
Then you liked it better than I did.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's still a good-looking book. I'm intrigued to see where the Carrie Kelly stuff is going. Like, what her obviously, she was teaching Damian something. But the stuff with Bruce and Frankenstein was just really odd.
Completely out of character for me.
And I know he's going through a lot.
That's what I said. But God, sorry.
No, I was going to say, he's going through quite a bit, of course. And he could be acting irrational. But, you know, last time I checked, Batman shouldn't be acting irrational.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I could take a little irrational, you know, because he ate a lot in the last couple issues of stuff, you know, what's going on with Damian and everything. But to do what he does and go after Frankenstein and the things that he's saying, I was like, okay, this doesn't seem, you know, like Batman at all. Like, even when we had the Batman regular book and he ended up punching Harper Row in the face, I was like, I think you guys are making Batman a little insane, and I'm not down with that. And then to call it Batman and Red Robin, you didn't even, you could have had Red Robin do what he did on a cell phone, pretty much. I was just like, I don't know, just all around. And this book, you know, 19 issues, 20 issues with a zero, I would guess. I've loved just about every issue. You know, the last couple have been amazing. I almost, you know, at times love them better than the main Batman book, but you know, everybody's entitled to their flop. And when I read this issue, I was just like, I don't like this issue at all.
So you didn't like this issue. Is it enough to make you stick with the book or give it up? Or
no. I mean, you have 20 great issues and you get one bad one. You know what I mean? Hell, I probably even give you like two bad ones. But like I said, I don't know if this is the future of Batman as a character right now, or if we're going to get over this. But if this is the way we're going to go, well, we said because Batman's going to be in the past soon.
I was actually just about to say that. Batman, the main book written by Snyder, may benefit from this, that he's not going to have to wallow in this muck of Batman being the way that he is. He can go back to the prequel stuff.
When he's like, you know, a sure character and everything. That's going to be the main part of this, is how long they're going to have mopey, crazy Batman. If it drags out, I could see me dropping the book. But, you know, like I said, I can't just throw it away on one issue. Tomasi's been too good.
Well, and I'll say this. There was a couple issues. It looked like it was having, if you remember, before the annual, it felt to me like it was having a difficult time finding its place into the whole Death in the Family storyline.
Yeah, now
and
that
then
I think
the annual
about it, yeah.
Kind of pulled it back for me because of the strong characterization of Damian. And, you know, this issue is like, I didn't hate it. Like I said, I didn't hate it. I just felt that it was really weird.
Right. I didn't absolutely hate the issue. I just really disliked it, you know, less than it was an average book. I don't know how to basically, like, you didn't hate it. But going to keep going. You're still on?
I'm still on. I'm still on for now, but I can definitely see it teetering. It got close there before the annual. The next issue with, I think, the and person is Red Hood, who's a character I'm kind of iffy about. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Right.
But it has a little red tick mark next to it on one of the lists.
Ooh, I wish I knew all your secret codes for your...
That's usually for a book that is being canceled of its own volition, like Superman Family Adventures in 2 weeks, or if it's a book that's on the verge of cancellation.
Oh, so it's on, like, double secret probation right now?
Yes, that's gotcha. A good way to put it, yes.
Gotcha. Hang in there, kitty. That's all I can say.
So, the next book I want to talk about is Hawkeye number 9.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if you knew this. This is a good book.
I had heard rumors. I heard you talking about it in the shop a couple of times. I might pick it up soon.
No, I heard a guy at the shop actually say it was just meh.
Oh, it was. I believe you're thinking it was only okay.
Oh, only okay.
No, that was Thor you're thinking of, God of Thunder.
We'll get to that later.
Yes, that one, yes.
So, Hawkeye number 9. Hawkeye is such an awesome book. It's a beautifully done book. And I know you don't read the solicitations, but we're essentially getting 2 issues in July because we're getting an annual as well.
Oh, cool. Is it by the creators? I know sometimes the annuals, they get, you know, like other people to do it, like the Daredevil annual. They didn't have Mark Waid do it, so.
No, it's definitely by Fraction. I think they might have a different artist. It might have been the artist who did issues 4 and 5.
Well, I understand with artists because, you know, you got to do the regular book that month and then the annual, so I'm cool with that, but I prefer when it's usually done by the same writers.
Right, but a lot of this issue is just how terrible Hawkeye is with all women.
Yeah.
How he has so many women in his life, and David Aja draws a simple but unbelievably awesome book.
Yes, I am completely in on Aja now. I was having some problems with him early on, but I see where he's going, what he's doing, and I like his storytelling, and I'm really good with him now.
So there's not really much else to say about this issue. Almost every issue feels like it's a jumping on point, but it's still part of the larger overarching story of everything that's going on, whether it be with the Russians, whether it be with the girl, the ending as well. People who I've recommended this book to, friends of mine have said, why do I recommend them books that horrible things happen? And my wife even said, actually a friend of mine said that he felt more emotion about the end of this issue than he did with any other highly publicized major comic things within the last 5 or 6 years.
I
spoiler free, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm totally mopping what you're spilling. You got to doesn't you know what it is? It's that this one doesn't feel forced.
No.
That's what it is, and all the other ones that your friend didn't care about were forced, and I'm totally against that, and I've totally given up on all those. So this one, when things happen, you're like, yeah, it seems like this is a natural progression in the story, not just something. At no point are they doing what they're doing in Hawkeye with these side characters for sales. You know what I mean? It's to move the story along. But on one thing that I do want to talk about, it took me a minute to figure out that this story, the way it was told out of order. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And it kind of was like, I was kind of angry because I'm a dumb guy. And as I was going, I'm like, okay, this is okay. And at the end, I'm like, it all makes total sense now. But for a minute or two, I was really confused. But the one knock I have to do on it is I didn't know who the third woman was.
Okay.
Because they drew, you know, it was like, Black Widow. Who was the other one? Mockingbird, I knew.
Right.
And then I had no idea the third one was Spider-Woman because they never said her name as her secret identity, if you want to call it, if any character has one of those anymore. just who it was. And I'm like, because Aja's drawing them plain as, you know, this. All right, the Black Widow has the boof hairdo that I remember. And, you know, Mockingbird had the blonde kind of hairdo that I kind of recognized. And I knew he was married to her for a while. But the Spider-Woman totally threw me because it was just a normal-looking, long, black-haired woman. And I was like, I didn't even know when they did it a few, because they do the take on it where they have the cards in their hair.
Yeah.
That the girl came into the mansion. Back then when that happened, I didn't know who that character was. And it took me to this issue. They were like, all right, they explained it. I know who it is. And that was the only small problem I had with the book.
I only know that from reading a few ancillary Avengers vs. X-Men stuff where they were positioned as a couple there.
Okay, I did not know that, so I wasn't sure who it was. But all in all, I mean, still just fantastic and a fun, interesting, you know, heartbreaking book.
Mm-hmm. But. So continuing on with stuff that we've read from last week, Thor, God of Thunder, number 7.
Yes.
This almost made it onto the list. But I'm like, let's pair some stuff back, and I asked Todd to fill some stuff in, and this is the first book that he had mentioned, so I say yay to you. This is a great book. I love everything about it. The teaming up of our age Thor and the old-timey all-father Thor, their dialogue back and forth was so good, and then the reveal at the end about the God Bomb, which is the title of the story, was pretty cool as well.
Yes, it was, and how, you know, what Golem has to do with everything. I don't know what his actual name is, but I call him Golem. And then, like you said, the two Thors are fantastic together. I love, you know, All-Father Thor and the way he's describing stuff to him. And Thor's like, no, it's this way. And he's like, son, you haven't been around for 5,000 years. Trust me. This is the way it is, and this is how it's been, and it's longer this way than the way you remember it. And the whole thing with the hall that he's not allowed to go in, he was never allowed to go into, just killed me.
Yeah.
With what it turns out to be. And he comes out later with something on his shoulder, and that's just a beautiful shot. And Asad Ribic just killing it in this book. The look, I think the, you know, as much as I love Jason Aaron, I know you love him even more than I do. He does a great job on this. But I'm telling you, Asad Ribic is carrying 50% of the workload, making it look so cool. And I mean so, so cool.
Yep.
Because I didn't hate issue six. But I think, you know, Asad Ribic, and it was Butch Geis, I believe. I don't want to get the name wrong, who drew it. It was still good. But I think if Asad Ribic would have drawn it, it would have been, you know, a lot better. And I don't mean that as a slight to Butch Geis. It's just how well Jason Aaron and Asad Ribic work as a team on this book.
No, I understand completely what you mean by that. But I was leery at first until I saw Geis's art on that issue. And I really, really dug his art on that issue.
Oh, I do too. There's no slight on him. Just one of those things that you see, it could be a classic team on a classic run of a book.
And so. I could be mistaken, and I don't think that I am. But I saw recently that Jason Aaron was saying that he was already up to, like, issue 12 already, like, scripted out, maybe even later.
Good. Good.
Actually, 13. He's already up to 13, ready to go, as of a week ago.
Cool.
Yep. So it's good to see him that far in the lead. I think July is a double ship month for Thor. But hey, what Marvel book these days is in a double ship book?
Yeah. I think Iron Man is in a double ship book. That's the only one.
You know what? And it's weird because I noticed that that one gets solicited sometimes as double ship, but then it falls behind schedule.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure who's to blame on that one.
I don't know. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I think it comes out today, so I'm finally getting another Iron Man issue.
Yep.
Seems like it's late. I don't know. Like you said, but though, it throws us off with all the double ships, mm-hmm. that if a book is just monthly, it feels like it's late anymore for Marvel.
Exactly.
Right.
So the last book that we're going to talk about from last week, and by we, I mean you, because I did not read Demon Knights number 19, but you asked for us to add it to the list, so here it is. Written by Robert Venditti with art by Bernard Chang. Yes. I guess this was good that you'd like to talk about it.
Yes, it is actually really good. This is one of those books that this is what I would call a Chuck Dixon quality book. Where back in the day, I always joked that Chuck Dixon did, you know, really good writing books, but nobody ever, you know, he never got the acclaim, and and you always feel you got more than your money's worth. But, you know, it wasn't Saga or Thor. This is just really fun. And I came on this book with the whole Bernard Chang saying, remember when he said if you buy one, you buy a copy for a friend, I'll send you a piece of artwork.
Right. We talked about it. I think you had to buy like 5 copies and send the receipt or something like that. Yeah.
Right. I was going to – I forgot how many copies. I was actually going to do it. I bought it for myself to try, and then I was going to get you one and a couple, you know, and just do it. I was going to be like, what can you do? But Dave only, you know, it's not a high-selling book, so he didn't buy a ton of extra copies, so I couldn't do it. So I was just like, I'll just read it anyway. And I loved it, and that was, I think, issue 17 they started with, I want to say.
Yes.
And I totally enjoyed it, and I went back and I bought all the Paul Cornell ones at the Clark Summit show a while back.
Okay.
And I read them all. I sat down and read them all. And the Paul Cornell stuff is great. I think the Venditti stuff is even better. It's basically about a team of mostly immortals. The characters are immortal. And there's a couple mortal characters. And the Paul Cornell run happens. And they become a team hesitantly. Vandal Savage is on it. There's an Amazon who is exiled from Amazon Island. There's a horse whisperer oracle girl who can't walk, but she could speak and merge her essence with horses. And then there's the demon, Madame Xanadu. And then there's a scientist who's mortal who uses like he can harness electricity and stuff like that. Really cool team. And they're put together through a series of events. Oh, and the Shining Knight. I'm sorry. Through a series of adventures that they have to be a team and they don't really get along. Vandal Savage is a jerk. Awesome. Demon is awesome. They've changed him a little bit. And I like, he's one of the, I'm going to get flack from a few friends that we have. He's one of the few, DC Kirby characters that I do really like. I like the whole idea of the demon, and they've made him really cool and why he would, you know, ever give up and go back to hell. Like, you know, once Jason Blood releases him. But then when we get to the Venditti storyline, it jumps 20 years in the future and all the characters are scattered and they're coming back together and just having an adventure. And it's just a really good book. And I wish I was on the ground floor a little sooner so I could have pushed this book, because you never know. I can't imagine it having huge, huge sales in the DC universe. But it made it to 19, which shocks me. Not because of the quality, just the way the DC does with their books. And I would really like more people to read it, because I think it's a gas and fun. And they've introduced like the Black Diamond from Eclipso, made its first appearance here in Paul Cornell's run. They set up a lot of stuff that's coming into the modern DC universe here. And I think that's really cool.
Well, we saw some of the Eclipso stuff, the Black Diamond stuff in All-Star Western, did we not?
Yes. I think that's the next stop that it makes after it disappears here. So,
So, and again, I have a friend of mine, I think I might have mentioned this on the show, who's just reading the New 52 stuff starting from the very beginning now. He just started within the last week or two, and I've been pushing this book on him for you, since he's kind of starting things fresh, you know, picking up trades and single issues where he can.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, he's one of those people in the other camp. He hates Etrigan so much, he's like, I won't even touch that book.
Wow. I just like some of the ideas that they've done with them, that Etrigan gets weaker as long as he's in on Earth, so he has to go back. Before it was like you did the spell. And I like in this one, Jason Blood doesn't disappear. He has to go to hell and take the place of Demon, and in hell he's with everybody the demons ever killed. So they're not happy with Jason Blood. So it's just cool. I like a lot of the stuff that they do. I highly recommend.
One of these days, I'm getting, you know, I get a little light on what I'm reading. But I have so much stuff to read. I might pick up the first trade or two.
Mm-hmm. And always, I know you're a supporter of books. If you ever need to borrow anything, I have them.
Yes, indeed.
But give me Demon Knights a try.
So I think that covers everything from last week. Todd, I'll let you kick things off. What are you most looking forward to coming out this week?
It is a little book that you lost a bet and have to read. as weird as it sounds, it's because it's a fourth Doctor story, and mm-hmm. they don't do, like, you know, they don't do past Doctors new stories with them. It's a new Tom Baker, the Scarf Doctor. With the companion Leela, I'm looking forward to it because I'm a sucker for that era. You never forget your first Doctor. So Doctor Who Prisoners of Time 4.
I was going to say, first of all, how did you know this wasn't going to be my pick?
Because it's so good and so would be your pick that you would throw me off by curveballing me and picking something else. Is that the correct answer?
Well, I know I'm sad that you actually said which Doctor it was,
mm-hmm.
because I am aware of the book coming out, of course, because I do have to buy it. I was going to ignorantly say, yeah, that's that Scarf Doctor, right?
Oh, man. Yes, it is the Scarf Doctor.
That's what I would have said. Yeah, he's on the board of TV in The Simpsons that one time.
Yes, yes, he was, yes.
With that Urkel kid.
Oh, God. But you know what? He never had his own...
My ignorance knows no bounds, ladies and gentlemen.
He didn't have his own Doctor Who-os.
Oh, okay.
Which would have been awesome. I would have bought that cereal.
Oh, man. I'm sure you can get some off-brand, like, 50-year-old Doctor Who cereal that they sold in England or some nonsense like that.
Can you mind just vamping while I check eBay real quick?
I'm just kidding. No, I don't have that on my list of things. Maybe I do, though. Who knows?
You never know. Ooh, if you're selling that, I'll take 10, please.
Yeah. So the book I'm looking most forward to, I went with a layup, an easy one for me, if you will. Daredevil number 25. First of all, that cover just looks really cool. It's somebody wearing the Battling Jack Murdock robe that he wore as a boxer's father.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the preview pages that I include with the show notes, you'll see that someone has, someone or something has taken that look and design into a pretty cool looking ninja type thing.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. And it also says in the little brief solicit text is that whoever's been pulling the strings in Matt Murdock's life plays his trump card.
Ooh.
So I'm hoping that there's more clues to further infuriate me as to why I should not know who this person is.
Well, we've had 25 issues and a .1 to get to know these characters.
Mm.
So we should have enough clues in there somewhere.
Oh, boy.
But is that everything that we're looking forward to this week?
Yeah, so I'm... So I'm sure we're only allowed one book to be looking forward to. I always try to throw a couple extras in there. But no, that's the one I'm most looking forward to this week.
Then I think it's the time of the show to mention our sponsor.
Oh, yes.
Bake Me a Wish. Because once again, as I've said, Congress has extended National Cake Month a second month. So, you know, we want to let everybody know that there's still time to get your cake.
That's right. When we had to set the clocks ahead a couple months ago or a couple weeks ago, it was part of that deal that convinced Arizona and all those other non-daylight savings time states to have to agree to that, also to extend. It was like one of those where they tack the bill on to something else to get it passed through Congress.
Yeah, I think I saw how that works on The Simpsons once.
That's right, with the prevert bill.
Yeah, the funding for the preverted arts.
So yes, it is cake month. Save yourself the trouble of being a fool and slaving over a hot stove and making a cake, or for shame, leaving your house and going to buy a store-bought cake. You can have one delivered right to your home from our good friends at BakeMeAWish.com. They have overnight delivery during the week in the U.S. They donate a proceed of every cake they sell to our troops overseas. So it's part of what you're sending to them goes to a good cause. And even if it wasn't, the cakes are delightful.
Yeah, I mean, it's simple. You order a cake, they send it to you. It's part of my credo. Less work, more cake.
There
that's the way I look at it.
That's a good credo to have.
Mm-hmm. I think he was also the villain that Han shot in Star Wars.
That they didn't fix. They did fix it so he shoots Greedo shoots first, but Credo, when they just lift the cell of Han over fake Jabba's tail.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That makes it's like Itchy and Scratchy when Poochie leaves. That's how bad it was.
He's one third Fonzarelli or something like that.
Oh my goodness.
But yes.
So we mentioned about our sponsor. We talked about all the books that we read last week, what we're looking forward to this week. We have Sketch Party to go over, of course. And I remembered to put one up. I put up the brand new Batman that I got from Franco of the Art and Franco team of Tiny Titans, Superman Family Adventure, Oh Yeah Comics, etc., etc. And that is a beautiful Batman. And every time that my wife sees it, she's like, ah, we got to hang that up in the baby's room. We got to take something down. But the problem is we got to figure out what to take down because it's very limited wall space because they're just jammed up.
Oh, I think you're going to have to invent something that rotates them.
Something.
Yeah.
Our good buddy DJ also put up the sketch that he got from both Baltazar and Franco. He had purchased the sketch cover of Thanos Rising number 1 and had Franco do Thanos, or I'm sorry, Artie do Thanos on the front and Death done on the reverse side by Franco. And they are beautiful.
Yes, they are.
Yes.
Adorable Thanos. It's the way I see him.
So the other listeners that contributed stuff was Mr. Senior, who always contributes stuff. And he put up a sketch that he did of Powdered Toast Man of Ren and Stimpy fame.
And I think he nailed it.
Yes.
I love that Powdered Toast Man. It takes me back to Ren and Stimpy, which I loved.
You know, that's on the Netflix instant.
I know. I was watching the fan club, Stimpy's fan club, which is one of the greatest cartoons ever made.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed like the transfer was, something was weird when
really?
I was watching it. Like, it was like blurry around the edges, and it was upsetting me. So,
yeah, that's disheartening to hear.
Yeah, but great show. And great Powdered Toast Man.
And Jeanette Frost also contributed a sketch that she did. Fun little doodles that she did of some JLI characters. It was a Blue Beetle, a Booster Gold, Elongated Man, and they were just adorable.
They were. I felt like Weeble Wobbles at one point. There was a little beetle. So it was cool.
And then, of course, your sketch, which was the Tim Truman Hawken concept sketch.
Yes, which he ended up using in the trade paperback. It was one of the early concept sketches. And when I saw him, I was like, oh, can I get a sketch of my schedule? He was like, I'm booked up. And I was like, oh. And he was like, well, I have some stuff in there. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's Hawken pages. And I was like, oh, you have pre-done Hawken sketches. He's like, oh, yeah, they're pre-done. But they weren't like I brought them to show. They're concepts. Like when me and my son were designing him and everything, I'm like, done and done here. How much, sir? And he was like, oh, I'm glad you loved it. And I talked about it. And he could, you know, he's like, oh, you know a lot about the book. I'm like, I loved it. I'm not just saying that. He's like, oh, I'm glad it goes to a good home. And he wrote, keep your powder dry on it. And I was like, that's awesome. You know, being the big Western fan that I am, I was like, I'll take it. And I ended up getting a page from him, too. So maybe that'll be – I don't know if I'm going to do that next week. I might tease you with that and bring that out down the line.
There you go.
See? Trying to tease the sketches.
So, of course, we are set to end the show here with our Twitter question from last week. And speaking of Twitter, of course, you could follow the show on Twitter at Weekly Longbox for all the latest and greatest in comic book news and other information in the comic book world. You can also follow Todd on Twitter at Roker the Joker. That's R-O-W-K-E-R the Joker. And I myself am L.F. Chikarison. That's L-F-C-H-I-K-A-R-A-S-O-N. And, I'm always on there. And if you follow me on Twitter, you can find the link to that eBay auction that I have of all the crazy stuff that I have up there for sale to bid or, you know, whatever you do on eBay. I don't know.
Yeah. And I've been sitting at 165 too long. I need a push. I need another, push. I'm getting
scared.
Know.
You got to do something. I think you need to follow more people.
Is that what you have to do?
Yes.
I'm unaware of how the Twitter works. I wanted to go to your Twitter class back in the day, but you shut it down. So,
well, these days you just pay $60 and you get 6,000 followers from what I understand.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yes, it is. Hold on. That's not what I did, but that's what I hear other people.
Let me check my wallet.
So our question from last week was your favorite rivalry in all of comics, and I think I even subjected it wrong in our emails to each other, but you knew what I meant.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, didn't we already do this question?
We had a lot of really good suggestions, some standard stuff that I think a lot of people kind of expected. Your Daredevils and Bullseyes, your Captain America and Red Skulls, your Wolverine and Sabretooths. I did like some people thinking outside the box with this. Jesse Tipton at Russell Cage 85 on Twitter mentioned Doctor Doom and Squirrel Girl.
Mm-hmm.
The spouse of the aforementioned Jeanette Frost, Zeus Ramos, Cusack clone on Twitter mentioned Archie and Reggie from the Archie Comics verse. The Thing got some love, specifically with his rivalry with the Hulk, and more importantly, his rivalry with Johnny. That was mentioned as well from Russell Cage 85 on Twitter, and that's what kind of sort of what I was thinking of, you know, the outside the box sort of suggestions.
Okay.
The one that got the most choices, Michael Hanscar, Noel Margate, Rick Williams, a lot of our longtime listeners. All specifically said Cyclops versus Wolverine, and that is a great one.
Mm-hmm.
But I was looking more outside the box, and somebody actually came up with my original thought when I thought of this topic of what my favorite rivalry was, and that was Kevin Burza. And this is what inspired the list, Blood Nut on Twitter. He had said Banner and the Hulk was his favorite rivalry.
Wow.
And then I thought about it, I'm like, yeah, that's like really... really a good one. But then I thought, and I'm like, oh no, wait, there's a better rivalry in all of comics. But I'm going to let you tell me what yours is first.
You're going to get mad at me because I went with a layup, but it's Hulk versus Thing. That never gets old to me. And I always like how usually, you know, I don't think the Thing has ever won straight up one-on-one. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's technically a rivalry. It's kind of like the way they say the Yankees and the Red Sox aren't a rivalry because the Yankees have 32 or whatever, and the Red Sox have like two right. In the last 30 years. So, but I just love the idea that, you know, the Hulk and the Thing gets no respect, but he keeps slugging it out anyway. So I'm going to go with Thing versus Hulk.
A Thing versus Hulk is a great choice. But again, you know, like you said yourself, a layup, if you will.
I was going to go with me and Rob Liefeld, but I didn't know if that one would count because I'm not in comics.
You know, close enough. Kevin Hellions, another longtime listener, he had mentioned Todd McFarlane versus Neil Gaiman as his choice.
I thought that was a good outside the box one.
Right.
But
this one, maybe outside the box, maybe not. It's not your typical big super villain versus superhero or even two superheroes that don't get along. And our buddy Josh also had the same idea as I did. So just to show you that great minds think alike.
I guess.
Because when I tell you this, Todd, you're going to say, of course, you're right, Leonard. Spider-Man and J. Jonah Jameson is the greatest rivalry in all of comics.
That is a good one. That is a good one.
That is my favorite rivalry. The two of them are just so awesome. And, like, even when they're on the same page, they're not on the same page. And even in the book now where, you know, Joan is the mayor and he's kind of sucking up to Spidey, but it's really Doc Ock who's kind of, like, making Jonah look like a fool every time that he can. Oh, That's the best rivalry in all of comics.
Sure. After Hulk thing.
So what is our Twitter question for next week, Todd?
Twitter question for next week is, who is your favorite supporting character in comics?
Now, we did similar before where we did a sidekick, right?
Right.
And that's, you don't mean that. You don't mean like a Robin to a Batman or a Speedy to a Green Arrow or something like that.
Right. I would say it's probably somebody who's just like peripheral in the book, usually not in the adventures or like occasionally could do something, you know, heroic or save the day. But, you know, like a, I'm just going to say like a girlfriend or a boyfriend or just like somebody who works with somebody. Like to me, Perry White would be a supporting character.
Okay.
He's not going to, you know, run out and fight Darkseid, but he might, you know, stop a mugging or something like that. But, you know, somebody like that, I'm trying to think of other ones without giving too many away. You know what I mean?
A Willy Lumpkin.
Right. Yeah. Like something like that. Like say you liked one of the detectives in the Geoff Johns run of Flash, like, you know, Chire or characters like that, you know, just that are not the superhero of the book.
Gotcha. So that's a great question to you, our listeners, of course. Who is your favorite supporting character? Not sidekick, not hero or otherwise, but a supporting character in the book. Who is your favorite? Just tweet it to us. Throw the hashtag GrizzWLQ in there so I can track them down, compile a list, and we'll talk about them here next week. Or if you are so adverse to Twitter, and, you know, sometimes I don't blame you, you could always shoot me an email at lfchikarison@ymail.com, the same spelling as my Twitter handle, as I mention all the time, and we'll add you to the list and compile them up here on the show next week.
Yep, and we also accept sketch party inductions at that email.
Yes, yes, yes. So if you don't want to tweet those to us, you can always shoot us a email as well, and by us, I mean me.
Yeah. Doing all the work while I get all the glory.
So, anything else that you wanted to cover this week before we wrap things up?
Nope, I'm good.
All right, well, again, for Todd, this is Leonard closing out episode 74 of the Weekly Long Box, and we will catch you all here next week.